Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
Whoa.
Hold it now.
One of the few owned black internet radio group that discusses multicultural issues and solutions. Present Black Urban America, and my name is Kenny Jones. Now, if you have a comment, this is for you people that listen by your laptops and your notebook pads. If you have a comment or a question, please dial 909-265-9215. That's 909-265-9215, and press 1. Now, upcoming, we have shows all throughout the week. On Saturdays, we have Provocative Thought with Carlton Sneed. His show starts at 8 p.m. And my show is on Tuesday evenings at 8 p.m. On Wednesday, we have The Elephant in the Room by Shaka Zulu, his a.k.a. Jomarian Harris. And his show also starts at 8 p.m. And starting tonight, every second Tuesday, we have Healthy Relationship with Ann Dillard. And every Thursday, which is next week, every Thursday, Tuesday night, we have Calm Down and Let's Discuss Racism with T. Anthony. And now, our guest tonight. She worked with teen moms. She worked with teenagers. She provided individual therapy, group therapy for teens. She conducted workshops all throughout this country. And she's a busy woman. And I don't know where she is tonight. She could be in California, South Carolina. I don't know where. But she's here tonight on this show. And her name is Ann Dillard. Welcome to the show again.
Thank you. Thank you. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm pretty good. How are you?
Excellent. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm actually in the Atlanta area tonight.
Oh, you're in Atlanta. Okay.
I'm loving it. Yes, I'm loving it. Enjoying the weather.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful outside. So what do we have on the agenda tonight?
Well, I am so excited for this opportunity to spread the word about healthy relationships. And so tonight we're just going to go back to the basics and talk about what are healthy relationships. When we talk about healthy relationships, you know, everybody's talking about healthy relationships now. And we all want to be in healthy relationships, but do we know what those are? And would we recognize it if we saw it or if we were in one? So I just want to break down and for us to have a conversation about what does a healthy relationship look like?
The microphone is all yours.
All right. So I'm glad, again, to be here with you, Mr. Kenny, to have this conversation. Thank you for having me back on. So I'm going to ask you a question. When you think of healthy relationships, what are some of the words that come to your mind?
Respect, loyalty,
mm-hmm.
A partnership, equal. Partnership.
Okay.
Between two individuals.
Uh-huh.
Understanding. Those just a few words.
Yeah, those are all good words. All good words. All right, thank you for sharing that. Now let's look at respect. When you think about respect, that's a big word for me. You know. It's not big in spelling, but it's a big word for me because when we think about respect, it encompasses so many different components. Like respect for me might be different than respect for you.
Right.
So I remember some years ago when I lived in Minnesota, I was meeting with one of my friends, a Muslim brother. And so he came, you know, and he brought a friend with him to the restaurant where we were having lunch. And this gentleman, the one that's my friend, he gave me a hug and everything. And so I reached out my hand to shake his companion's hand. And he just kind of nodded his head. And I was like, oh, what was that about? And in my mind, I had all kinds of thoughts going on. But then my friend educated me to let me know that in his culture, it's not respectful.
Not supposed to touch a woman.
Exactly. So while I, you know, spent those few seconds pondering in my mind, you know, what's that all about? Actually, he was showing me respect, but I didn't
mm-hmm.
even recognize it. Right, I didn't recognize it, and so I think that part of a healthy relationship, one of the biggest things is communication, and communicating respect is really important. How do you want to be respected? What does it look like, feel like when you are being respected? Because
let
my respect might
stuff.
Be different.
You
from
talk
yours.
About communications, right? We talk
yeah.
about communication,
uh-huh.
and there's a deep disagreement. Between two parties.
Right.
Is a person disrespectful?
Is what disrespectful?
Cursing.
Well, it depends on the parties. Right? If that's your norm, it might not be. But for me, in my house, that's not our norm. So I would totally feel disrespected.
Okay.
So... You know, some people, that's how they express themselves, and they have that mutual agreement that this is how we communicate. We do all of that, and we work through it. We stay engaged in it. But for me, if I had a disagreement with somebody who cursed at me, I would shut down.
Right.
I would say that's not acceptable. I don't feel respected. Let's pick this back up when we can both. Be civil to each other. That's the language that I would use.
Is it normal for two individuals in a relationship to disagree all the time or disagree some of the time?
I think it's normal to disagree the level of disagreement can be based on the level of your connection with each other. How connected are you with each other? How, you know, how much do you like each other? You know, yeah. And also I'm thinking when I'm talking about relationships, I'm extending it beyond just an intimate relationship. But, you know, I think about mother-daughter relationships. I teach about that all the time, and I see mother-daughters in my therapy practice. And so looking at all different types of relationships, and disagreement is certainly healthy because that's how you learn, you grow, you know what changes need to be made, because we are all individuals. You know, we can't expect everybody to like everything that we do all of the time. However, so is resolution. And a lot of times we have disagreements, but we don't necessarily have the skills to resolve them. And that's when it becomes a problem.
Let me give you a scenario like a mother-daughter relationship. The daughter is a older teen, let's say 17, 18 years old. And the mother... it's a young mom, you know.
Right.
And the daughter doesn't listen to the mom, or the daughter break rules, or come in 6 o'clock in the morning, or whatnot. How can that mother improve the relationship between the two, or it's too late because she's an older young lady now?
I don't believe it's ever too late to improve a relationship. Not at all. And so I would have that mother, I would have her and the daughter have a conversation, you know, really reiterating the house rules and the consequences for breaking the house rules. But deeper than that is really saying, okay, what do we need to do to improve this relationship, and why is it that you feel it necessary to violate our house rules? And then secondly, I want to know, what are you doing out there that late, and who are you with? Because I'd be very concerned about her safety.
Okay. I just want to bring that up.
Yeah, I think that's really important. But a lot of times I see in those relationships, you know, somebody is really heated and feel totally disrespected, and then they're like, you can't live in my house anymore. You feel like you've grown. You're trying to come in my house all times of the morning. You need to leave. And then what happens? Nothing gets resolved, right?
Yeah, and keep on going on and on and on, and pretty soon it's generational, you know, because when that young lady becomes a mother, that's how she's going to treat her daughter.
Exactly. It becomes generational because there is a quote, and I can't remember who said it, but she said, what we repeat, what we don't repair. And isn't that deep? We repeat what we don't repair.
That's deep. Because what you don't repair is just like a snowball effect. It keep on going, getting bigger and getting bigger. And each generation that carries that negative behavior, or that behavior,
right?
It gets more intense.
More compounded.
Yes. Yes.
It becomes compounded, and you don't know what to do. So what started off as just a little disagreement for you not washing the dishes now becomes something that has led to depression, suicidal thoughts, and all that kind of stuff.
Abusive behavior.
Yes. And like you said, that's very key. It goes from generation to generation because we have not done our due diligence. We have not learned how to repair, which is a really critical part of having healthy relationships.
why we need to, I know why we need to have healthy relationship. What are some of the characteristics that consist in a healthy relationship?
Okay, so, all right. So you started off sharing some of them real critical ones, you know, communication, equal partnership. Equal might not be 50-50, right? Equal might be the level, and you've agreed to the level to which the other person needs to participate.
Right.
It might not be 50-50. Sometimes it might need to be 70-25, and other times it might need to be, you know, 60-40. But because we're both vested in this relationship, we're gonna make up the difference.
See, the man in the relationship, or the person that's identified as the masculine individual, should that person burden most of the responsibilities in a household or family structure?
I know that that's a popular belief for a lot of people, but I don't necessarily, I can't say that blanket as a blanket statement across the board, because I think every household need to decide what works for them. You know, because
okay.
There are households where, say, for example, dad might stay home and run the household and take care of the kids.
Well.
And mom is out and she's the breadwinner, right? Would you say that's an equal relationship? Some people might not.
I think so, because running the household is tough. You know, cleaning and cooking and taking the kids to school. And having snacks for them when they come home, monitor their behavior, they're super positive. That way, yeah.
Yes, it does. I was a stay-at-home mom for 12 years.
Take them to their different activities.
Yeah, I didn't regret it. And while I was home, I ran different businesses, home-based businesses. You know, but I didn't regret it. I loved it, but it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work. So what I'm saying is, I'm saying that different relationships, different households have to really define how they're going to operate, what's acceptable for their household. I can't model my household after your household. Because we're from two different walks of life, two different backgrounds, different experiences. And so we have to come together with our partners to say, this is what will work for our household. So when we're talking about healthy relationships, you know, we think about somebody who you can tell anything to, who accepts you for who you are, somebody who will help you feel good about yourself and remind you when you're not feeling good about yourself what makes you great. Somebody who can give you good advice, somebody who loves and respects you and trusts you, and somebody who does not shame you. Those are some of the qualities of good relationship. They should encompass laughter, humor, fair fights and disagreements, acceptance, comfort. You should feel comfortable in that relationship. You should strive towards good communication and not be afraid, not be afraid to be yourself. And the other thing about having a healthy relationship, it should have some level of care and affection. Because the absence of affection in a relationship and care becomes abusive. You ever heard of that? Withholding care and affection?
I didn't know that was a part of abuse.
Yes, it is. You know,
forgetting. Remember that time I was naming the different characteristic of abuse. I could name the last one. Well, maybe that's the one I could never remember.
Yeah, Yeah, that's you know, withholding care and affection. And think
about two individuals are angry at each other, how can you provide affection while you're angry?
Well, you can't.
The relationship is unhealthy.
A lot of times if the relationship is unhealthy, there are components of abuse in that relationship. And hopefully it's not a situation where you're angry at each other all the time. You know, I might be angry right now, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to stay angry. You know, I might just need some time to cool off, and I don't feel like expressing affection, but I can express respect, and I could let you know what's going on, how I'm feeling, and when I'll come back to discuss it. So it comes right back to communication, doesn't it?
Yes. Suppose a person's not good, it's not that experience in communicating their feelings. Suppose that person don't know what their feelings are.
Right. So do they just check out and avoid? I don't think so. You can't just check out and avoid. And I think there are ample opportunities for people to learn, because everybody has a different method of, conflict resolution skills, right? Mm-hmm. So some people might be avoiding, some people might be confrontational, some people might be compromising. So there are different conflict resolution skills, and I think we should do one show just on conflict resolution skills.
Right.
How do we resolve conflict? Because if conflict is left unresolved, then again, like that mother-daughter scenario that you gave, it transfers to generations. Yeah, so I think that's really, really important. If you don't know how to communicate, there's no reason in today's society that you can't learn how to communicate. Or at least even ask
another question.
For time.
I'm going to ask a question that might be stereotypical, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I was reading.
That's great. I love your questions.
A couple of months ago, I was reading that the black woman, well, two articles, really. One article said the black woman doesn't need her man, and the black woman is at war with the black man, or vice versa. How you feel about that? Hey, I've been hearing that a lot in the past 20 years. There's difficulty in the relationship between the black man and the black woman.
Gosh, you know that? Oh my goodness, that's a hard question, because you know what? There has been a wedge put between, especially you're talking about in America, there has been a wedge placed between the black man and the black woman since slavery. And so I believe a lot of things that we are experiencing now is residue of and trauma from historical trauma. Because, you know, think about back in slavery, from the documents that we've seen and the accounts that we've been given, you know, what is it like, what do you feel like if you are beaten and humiliated in front of your wife and your children?
Right. Well, they do that now. They shoot us. No, they're whippers anymore. They just shoot us in front of our wife and children.
In front of them, right? And then what is it to be raped in front of your husband? What does that do to you know, the character and the dignity and the pride and all of that of the black family? So I think that the dissension initially was purposely set there, and I think it continues to grow and it continues to be perpetuated. However, I do believe that we have the power, we have the skills, or we can get the skills if we set the intention to have healthy relationships amongst ourselves.
Do you feel black women are better off without the man, the black man?
Ooh, you went deep on that question, Kenny.
I read a lot. I read a lot of controversy.
Oh, my goodness.
Controversial articles. You know.
I mean.
That's how I go after people like yourselves. You know, get y'all to say,
oh,
hey,
my goodness.
Talk about this.
Wow.
I mean, it's constant. Even black women say it themselves. I don't need a man. I don't need a man for nothing. You ever heard of that one?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Only thing a man could do is blank, blank, blank. I'm fine by myself. I got a house. I got a car, but you're lonely. And to go out and get a different man every week or every other week makes you into something that you don't want to be. Promiscuous.
That's deep because can they live without? Yes. Do they complement and can they be an asset to each other? Yes. And I'm going to talk about me personally. My husband and I, we have a phrase that we say, we're always better together. Now, I'm not imposing that on anybody else. I just know that we are better together. Because
Some women stay in an unhealthy, now this is what I have read too. Many women have stayed in a relationship, unhealthy relationship, because of the children, or guys stayed in a relationship because of this record that was out 30 years ago, Cheaper the Keeper. They stay together, they're unhappy, but it's more convenient. It's more convenient.
Right.
You know, the medical expenses, the child care. Some people, take the abuse until the last one graduates from high school.
That is so true. And, there are a lot of relationships that break up while the kids are away in college.
Yeah.
And
what makes it so bad, the kids already know that the parents were on good terms. So they did it for nothing, really.
Mm-hmm. And so that's a very prevalent scenario also. And so it's that's a difficult question to answer. But for me and my household, we're better off together.
Right.
I think that
since we dealing with adults, that's a tough, tough decision to make as an individual. I go give myself up so my offspring, I had two people in the household, image, because a lot of people it's all about the image, or I can't afford. Because of the way the economy today, I can't afford to live on my own. So it's better to stay under this roof, be unhappy with this person, or they might just have a understanding. Hey, we're more than roommates. We're roommates more than lovers.
Intimate partners, yeah.
Intimate partners. Lovers. Oh, hold on. Oh, lovers not a good term?
I mean, you know that.
I don't know. I said no.
I mean, There's so many different kinds and types of partnerships going on. I mean, I have to decide what kind of partners they are.
Man, so people stay in relationship because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
But they have
an
understanding that they're roommates.
But see, here's the thing. Cheaper doesn't always equate better.
Right.
And you have to really weigh what's the price that you're paying. Now, I'm not a proponent for divorce. I believe that people, you know, work through things and, you know, grow together and stuff like that. However, in cases, especially when there's abuse and there's other kinds of things going on where people are just not committed or doesn't have the intention of working together, sometimes staying in that situation where it's cheaper, it costs you more in the long run because it costs you emotionally, it costs you the impact and the trauma that you've passed on to your children. So the very children that you're trying to save to show this image of having both parents in the household, they're the ones who get traumatized and impacted because what you're showing them, in essence, is not healthy.
I have another question for you, Ann.
Uh-huh. How should I prepare myself for this question?
Can a person feel secure in a common law marriage? And for your folks that don't know what common law marriage is, because in some parts of the country, they're crazy over marriage, and common law marriage is not accepted. But where I'm from, common law marriage get the same weight as marriage, where I'm from,
mm-hmm.
Which is from the New York area. So
do you have to live together for it to be considered common law?
All you have to do is prove that you're in the same household, that you're paying the bills
mm-hmm.
together. You know, what a lot of people do, put their person that they live with on their medical insurance. That's proof. There's no time limit in the state of New York and the state of New Jersey and the state of Pennsylvania. I know in Massachusetts it might be like a year.
As
you come south, all that goes out the window. And they really believe in marriage down here. They'd rather be married than happy. You know, can a person be happy in a common law marriage? And secure.
You know,
and
I affected, think happen-
and respected. And communication. and accept
they have
for
a
who you are. Give good advice. Feel comfort and give affection. In a common law marriage.
I think people can be happy wherever they decide, in whatever situation they are in. It's happiness to me is a state of mind, and it's something that comes from within. So I believe that if you decide that you're happy, then you can. In some people, that's not their preferred way of living, but I've come to understand and accept the fact that there are differences in relationships and how we define family, how we define marriage and things like that.
I got another question for you. Let's get back to that scenario of the older teen and the single mother, right? Should that single mother date if she having a problem with her teen daughter?
If she having problems with her teen daughter, should she date? Hmm.
Yes. Should she have a relationship, in other words?
Should she have an intimate relationship?
Should she have a, no. No, I didn't say intimate. And I didn't say intimate. I said relationship. Relationship.
Okay.
I didn't put no adverb or adjective in front of that. Word.
In front of
I say relationship. Plain old relationship with you know, with a friend. A very close friend.
A very close friend that she wants him to call she wants her daughter to call uncle.
No.
No. No, but seriously. Seriously though.
They don't even do that then no more. They go by the first name.
I know. Yeah.
Everything's first name. And they know who you are, what you're there for, and everything. I know when I was little,
right.
You had to call friends, your father friend, aunt so and so, your mother friend, uncle so and so.
Uncle so and so.
Yes.
And see, the, okay, so should she date? Now, these are two totally different types of relationship, in my opinion. You know, all that I'm sharing, a lot of what I'm sharing is my opinion. But these are two different types of relationships, right? Now, I believe she's entitled to have a relationship with someone if she wants to. However, when it comes to the point where that relationship impedes on her judgment or her ability to be an effective parent for her daughter, I think then that needs to come into question.
Then the other person should be given good advice, should accepting her who she is, and have positive communication and respect.
Positive and respect. Now, it might not be respect that person the way that person wants to. How about respect for the mom and her desire to work on that relationship?
Right.
Yeah, so it's complicated, and the thing about relationship is that there's no clear-cut answers, and a lot of times what we do is we try to pattern our relationships off of what we've seen, right, what we grow up seeing. This is what my mama did, this is what my daddy did, my uncle did this.
And they weren't always right, either. Mommy, daddy aren't always right.
Right,
mommy
and
they probably did
the best. No,
they did the best they could,
right?
Well, what
but
they
the thing
know.
About it is, right? The thing about it is, but you're not in relationship with your mom or your dad. This is, you know, you are two total different people, and so that's why I say relationships are complex. They are compounded by different stressors that we're facing in life, which are different stressors than our parents face.
You know, and you know the name of the show is Black Urban America. And I got to ask one racial question. Just one. I get one every month.
Okay.
How should I say
okay, what?
What's
your question?
Oh, wow. Keep going. I got to come how to rephrase this question.
You're
I can't
developing
come around
the question.
Go ahead. I'll ask it later.
So you know the us part. While we talk about components of a healthy relationship, I think we also have to talk about components of what is unhealthy, and this is not an all inclusive list, but certainly some things to think about. So when we think about unhealthy, we think about a relationship that has dishonesty in it. If you feel threatened or there are threats being made, that's not a healthy relationship. If there's controlling behaviors where, you know, you feel like you have to do this or you can't speak on this or you just have to hold your tongue all the time and you feel like you're being controlled, that's not healthy either.
Well, you got to wear certain things.
Yes. You got to wear, or you got to be at a certain place at a certain time, or you have to check in and ask permission for this, that, and the other. That's not healthy. Right. And I'm not talking about a mother-daughter relationship now. That's not what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there is certain accountability that you need to do provide as a parent and as a child in a parent-child relationship. So when we're looking at partner relationships and thinking about, well, you know, if you feel blamed all the time or there's a lot of guilt and a lot of shame, you're made to feel shame about, you know, different things. There's no extension of grace for being human and making human mistakes. That's not healthy. That's not healthy. Betrayal.
Well, should we pattern our relationships? I'm talking about Black America. Pattern our relationships like other cultures, such as white people.
White people have relational problems too.
Don't they now? I don't know why all these training manuals, all these workshops, you know, see soldier centric instead of multicultural.
Right. This is not
well,
just for Black folks, white folks.
Like a lot of Hispanic couples, I'm talking about from the New York area, you know, they show, they display public affection. They hug, kiss, where some relationships, they don't, some cultures, they don't do that. They don't display public affection, you know, the things of that nature, you know, but it seems like there's a culture on this earth think that they have the solution to it all. Follow me. I like our president. I know it all. It's perfect under me.
Yeah, I mean, there are people with that ethnocentric belief that, you know, my way is the best way. My belief is the best belief. My culture is the best culture. But I think that as we grow and learn, we can learn from anybody. And we can learn and improve. And most importantly, have influences from different cultures. I don't think that there's one culture that has it all together. Which culture teaches tolerance, acceptance, forgiveness, respect, care, compassion?
That's Black folks. We forgive them all the time. We forgive a lot. We're very forgiving.
We're very forgiving, but on the other hand, what happens and why do we have such high rate of divorces? Are we forgiving the wrong people?
United States, all European nations have a high rate of divorce. And don't you know 72% of women, not just Black women, 72% of Black women will remarry for the second time.
And then the
divorce rate, I believe, is at an all-time high. It hasn't dipped in 30 years. 68%, I believe.
So, and here's the thing. In the remarriage rate, there is also a high level of divorce rate amongst the remarried.
So they're going for the three strikes you're out rule, huh?
Well, and the thing about it is, you know, a lot of times it's all gravy when we're honeymooning. And then we have to come down to earth and we have to face the stressors of life and we have to figure out how to live. Now, if you didn't figure that out in your first relationship and you're still taking that baggage and that same thing that's required to the second relationship.
To a person... How should I say? Give, I guess, marriage or common law marriage a second and third try. What's the number they should just say, man, this is not me? I tried so many times. Man, like Elizabeth Taylor. Like Elizabeth Taylor, she was married 9, 10 different times. Richard Pryor, 16 times. He got married, and 24 hours later, he wanted a divorce. True story. I saw the documentary. So what is the number that said, that's it, I'm done, I'm out of here, I live the single life, even though I haven't been a single life in 30 years, you know, this is it for me.
I don't think there's a number, or maybe better yet, the number should be when you decide that you're not going to work on you anymore.
Oh, you trying to say a lot of divorces, people don't point the finger at themselves?
They don't. It's in a lot of cases, they're pointing it at their mate.
Yeah.
And so, and you go into another relationship, and you still have unresolved issues because there you are.
Interesting.
What's your number? What number you think people should stop getting married and say, that's it, I'm gonna live the single life?
I said, if you haven't learned by the third time, I think that maybe this marriage thing or this common law marriage is not your thing. Maybe you're just a rough individual to live with. I do the baseball way. Three strikes, you're out. I do California. Three strikes and you're out.
Three strikes and you're out. If after the first time you decide that you're not going to work on yourself, I say give it up.
And what some
Why
people
mess
think
around
that they're right
people?
All the time.
Let me ask you something.
If a person continues to get into an unhealthy relationship continuously, one after another, you know, should that individual start looking within?
Absolutely. I think you should look within before you get in the first relationship. But unfortunately, a lot of the issues and challenges aren't triggered until you're in a relationship with someone and you realize that, ooh, that doesn't agree with me. That's a trigger. But I think you always have to be introspective. I think you always have to take account. Even if you're in a healthy relationship, you always, self-assessment is absolutely, absolutely essential.
Well, this is what I always believe, that having a relationship is very difficult. It takes a lot of, I don't want to say sacrifices, but it takes a lot of understanding of one another and accepting, like you said, accepting the person for who you are. And sometimes the person could change after he or she come in that household and say, whoa. What is this? And you might have to make a big decision right there. You know, like that movie, Get Out, Get Out. So I feel that that relationship takes forever. Healthy relationship takes forever to work on. And not something
it's not something
you could do within 3 years. You know, it's a lifetime. But because you evolve, if people are about making progress, you're always evolving, you know?
Always growing, always evolving, always changing. And so, you know, when you're looking at it, you look at it from the standpoint of, are you growing with me? What adjustments do we need to make? Always assessing yourself. And always assessing your relationship. How can I do this better? What can I do to facilitate better communication, better understanding? It's always, always an assessment going on.
Let me see if this person wants to say something. Good evening. Welcome to Black Urban America 4274. Do you have a question or comment? 4274? I guess the person just want to listen.
Okay.
No. Yeah. I'm just listening.
Oh, she did say. Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Welcome to Black Herb America. Do
hey,
you have
Jimmy,
a question?
How you doing?
All right.
Not right not at the moment. I don't. But
okay.
I enjoyed the conversation.
Well, you can listen
to
me.
Huh?
Go ahead.
I don't have a question right now.
Okay.
Not at the moment.
Okay. Go ahead, Ann.
Awesome. Well, thanks for calling in. It's always good to hear that people are out there listening to
That's
us.
That's right.
So Kenny, let me finish listing some of the indicators of unhealthy relationship. Betrayal. That's an indicator, and continual betrayal.
When you say betrayal, what do you mean? Like cheating?
Well, cheating, infidelity, but even it doesn't even have to be that big. It could be something like I share something with you and you go behind my back and share it with somebody else.
Running your mouth. Oh, okay. Oh, betrayal.
That's a big one. That doesn't make me feel safe in this relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I can't talk to you, and you can't hold water.
That's right. Whatever happens behind closed doors between me and you.
Yeah.
Well, how about the technology? People putting their business on the phone.
Yeah, Facebook and stuff like that, and it's like we've lost a lot of boundaries in our relationship.
Instagram and all of that.
Yeah, all of that. One of the things that I stopped doing is I stopped posting about my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I did, because they're adults and they have their independent life. They don't necessarily want me telling the world what they're doing.
You just stopped that a month ago, man. What are you talking about?
No.
You were talking about this
stuff.
You just stopped that 30 days ago.
You're not right. My
kids are doing well. One is giving a workshop. Did your son give a workshop?
No.
Your son give a workshop recently, within the last month or two?
No, my husband did, though.
Okay.
My husband did, so that was just promo for him. Whatever I talk about is mostly around my life and around my business, primarily about my business. Funny.
So what's the other thing besides betrayal?
Okay, constant criticism. Oh my gosh, that is so big. Why you got that on? And what you looking? They don't have to say you look bad or that dress don't fit. But just that. Why you got your hair? I thought you went and got your hair done.
Wow. Well, maybe she did. Okay, constant criticism. What's the next one?
Okay, violation of boundaries.
Explain boundaries, because boundaries have a different meaning to different people and what have you.
Yes, and you know what? Brené Brown, Dr. Brené Brown, she's I think she's a licensed clinical social worker, but she does a lot of books on shame and vulnerability, like the gifts of imperfection, rising strong, daring greatly, stuff like that. She has the best definition to me of boundaries. And her definition is boundaries is deciding what's okay and what's not.
Oh.
Bottom line. What's okay and what's not.
That was okay too, the dominant culture in the United States of America, but what's okay to your household?
Exactly. In your relationship, what's okay in my relationship with you and what's not? Those are my boundaries.
Okay. Even though the dominant culture, you know, might turn their nose up at it, but at least we find it that this is what acceptance to us.
To us, exactly. These are my boundaries. This is what's okay for me. This is what's not okay.
Okay.
And that's really important. And then lack of commitment. Lack of commitment is another one.
When you say lack of commitment, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, one of it has to do with being faithful to each other, but it also has to do with if you give me your word and say you're going to do something, I expect you to do that.
Okay.
Yes. Abandonment is another one, and we talked about lack of care, but also passive-aggressive, being passive-aggressive. That's a big deal. You leave people always wondering. You leave people unsure and uncertain when you're dealing with passive-aggressive attitudes and behaviors.
Okay. Well, we're about to come to the end of the show. I think once a month, you know, it's a serious topic, but it's also a topic that we can have a little fun with. You know,
absolutely.
Especially having these different stereotypes about what's make up a positive relationship or a couple or what have you, where you want to put it. But I'm really going to look forward to this series.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people going to start calling in too as they get to know what type of show this type of show is going to be.
Absolutely, and hopefully they'll call in and send their questions in so that we can answer it. And what we've done tonight is we've taken the time to lay the groundwork for healthy relationships.
Okay. All right, Ann, you flying anywhere this week?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We should go somewhere. Where you going this week?
I ain't telling nobody. I'm going with my family.
Oh, good boundary. Good way to have those boundaries.
It's not a business trip.
Oh, okay. All right, Ann, I see you next month.
All right, thank you. Keep up the good work.
All right, okay.
Peace and healing to the community.
Thank you so much. All right, folks, there you have it. There's the groundwork. We gave the fundamentals, what's a healthy relationship, what's an unhealthy relationship is. And again, let's not go around and say black folks don't know how to get along with each other, don't know how to conduct a household and whatnot. You know, we're not the only ones that have problems in relationships. You know, so, as always, I am because we are because I am. See you next